Hey everyone, I'm Emily and I'm a compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for having me, Juliet. Thanks for asking me to be of service, for sandbagging me, even though like I really wanted to say no. Like, you know, and I had in my head all the excuses why I should say no today. A part of it being I went to a wedding last night for a friend in another fellowship, and I partook in all of the wedding events, including going to an after party, which I've never done sober or abstinent, at the House of Yes in Brooklyn. And I didn't get to bed till 3 a.m. And like, I'm 40 years old and I'm like freaking exhausted today. Yeah. So today has been a little weird. Like literally right now, it feels like my morning, because I prayed like 2 hours ago and I did some step work that I needed to, was putting off. So I guess this is what God had intended for me, you know. And something I learned early on in program is when somebody asks you to do something, you know, to be of service, you say yes, unless you have a really good reason not to. And I didn't have a good reason not to. I'm also feeling a bit intimidated because this is my home group. And also, like, I'm just like in awe on a lot of people. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe that's not a good thing. But like, there are people here who have a lot more time and experience than me. And yeah, anyways, but that's just my ego and pride, right? Like that's what program teaches me. I'm not a good judge of myself. A little bit about me, some stats. So currently, my current sober abstinent date, whatever you want to call it, is October 18th, 2024. So I have 7 months and 9 days, something like that. I don't know, whatever. It doesn't matter. I don't like look at it that often. I try to look at it maybe once a week just to remind myself where I'm at. And I'm at the beginning, and I'm currently working the fourth step with my sponsor. This is not my first stint in the program, nor is it my first stint of having abstinence. I came into OA in 2017. Ish. Yeah. April 2017. I went to my first meeting two months earlier, February, and I came in. So a little bit about me, I came in through the back doors of, or the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, but this is my primary addiction. I picked up food from a very young age. I would say this is my primary addiction. My first binge was when I was 3 years old, and I remember, vaguely remember it, not the binging itself, but the consequences of it. I guess I was strong. I somehow got into the refrigerator, and there was a carton of strawberries. I guess my parents got at Costco, and somehow I got it off a shelf and I ate most of it. And I ended up having a really bad allergic reaction. And I had to miss like my last few weeks of, I guess, nursery school. And I just remember my dad needing to carry me like to the bathroom and stuff because I had like hives everywhere. And I'm sure like my memories are way more dramatic than what it was, just knowing me, you know, and where I was at that age. But I do remember that being my first binge. And I do also remember having a tantrum for whatever reason because my parents got McDonald's for everyone for dinner and they let me sleep through it. And I got really upset because I missed a meal, and they saved the meal for me. Like I had it the next day for lunch, but the fact that like they wouldn't wake me up, and that just tells you a lot about, that's really all you need to know, right? Like that's just like my head was with the food. Food comforted me until it didn't. And I don't know why I'm a compulsive overeater. I could guess, like, I know it runs in my family. My mom is one of us. At a young age, she took me and my twin sister to OA meetings. I don't remember, like, anything about them. But I do know she was in this program. And I just remember always going to, you know, I was a pretty skinny kid. I was very athletic. But, you know, I remember like when I had a lot of trouble like with emotional regulation and like understanding like how I was feeling, I, you know, for various reasons. And like I would go to the food at night for more snacks. I remember sneaking into the fridge to get, you know, just putting my hand in the food and eating it, all those things as at a young age. And really the weight gain didn't catch up with me until I hit puberty. And I just remember one or two things sitting in, I think I was in sixth grade, and noticed looking down and noticing I had a little belly. And I'm sure it was little. It wasn't even like that big right at the time. And then I remember my bat mitzvah, which is a big thing in the Jewish religion. My parents got us like really nice dresses, and they couldn't do the pictures at the temple beforehand. So we had to go back and like rewear the dresses like a week after the or two after the bat mitzvah, and I hardly fit into my dress, like because I just engorged myself, because I knew like the day came, I was able to hold it, and then I just like let it go. And I just remember I have these pictures of me just sucking in, and when I look at it, I'm just like, other people may not see it, but I see it, And I just remember hearing my mom on the phone to my grandmother in Florida. Sit telling her how I gained a lot of weight. She didn't know I heard that. So there were signs definitely that I had issues. I would say for me, the eating really didn't progress. Like since I was an athlete, like whatever weight gain I would gain, it usually would come off like during camp. Dieting really didn't become a factor, I would say, until my teenage years when, I was able to have some more control over my own food intake. That would be like I went to sleepaway camp every summer and the food was gross anyways, but like I was able to like, the girls, other girls, we would like eat tomatoes. We'd like quart tomatoes and not eat like a certain meal or whatever it is that we did. And then it wasn't until college, when I got to start making my own food decisions. And sometimes that was good and a lot of times it was bad. Instead of like this freshman 15, I remember I gained like 40 pounds and then I lost it all that summer when I came home. So my mom, as I mentioned, was in OA for a time and then she wasn't, and she was in some other 12-step programs, and I didn't know what that meant, 12-step. That wasn't like a part of my vocabulary. It's not something I knew about. But when I was in high school, she decided to join Grace Sheet, which it was a part of the OA program originally. It was one of the food plans and it spun off to its own thing. I used to call it Nazi Sheet because it was so strict. Like it was like we used to make fun of it, but like it worked. Like she lost a lot of weight. And then when I came home from college, I would use it as a diet. I asked her for a copy and like she would cook, make me Grace Sheet food. And it worked well. Like I could lose 30 pounds within like 60 to 90 days. It wasn't hard not to drink at that time because I didn't have access. I wasn't of age to purchase alcohol, neither was my sister. And I really did that for a number of years. And I probably that experience, like I knew, like as soon as I like, my last experience being on Gray Sheet was like in my early 30s, right a year before I came into the rooms of 12-step recovery. And I remember not wanting to go on that because my fiance at the time wanted to. And I was like, I don't want that. It's extreme. Because I knew that it wasn't doable for me because it was so ex for me. I'm not saying for anybody else, that's other people's decision, but it was so extreme for me. Like I felt so insecure about having to weigh and measure in front of people, even though I did it when I was on it, just being so young, right? And also it's the alcohol, you're not allowed to drink on it. So when I went on it the last time, like the last few times, I just remember like either forgetting to turn over my food and then having to recount my days. And so that was like a big ego blow. And then the other times was because I'd pick up drinking, I'd pick up the alcohol. And the reason why I mention alcohol is because for me, it was like trading seats on the Titanic for a lot of my drinking and my compulsive overeating. And what I mean by that is like, as an alcoholic, I was a binge drinker and periodic binge drinker. And as a compulsive overeater, I am a binge eater. And so I'm eating large and, uncontrollable amounts of food at a given time. And so when the alcohol was up, the food sometimes was down. And then when the food was up, the alcohol was down. And sometimes they were up together and sometimes they were down together. In the end, it was the alcohol that brought me into the 12 steps. And I'm grateful for that. And for me, my journey there has been so different than here. There, I'm going to have 9 years sober on May this coming week. And I'm grateful for that. But like in OA, like has been my experience of relapse. And I'm grateful for that.
That's
I'm grateful
10
for that.
minutes.
Thank you, because it's given me a sense of humility and compassion that I don't think I would have otherwise if I had didn't experience, right, it. And I know from my just experience in recovery, I can't like not be grateful for all the pain that I've been in, like throughout my life. Like, do I wish I didn't experience? Sure. But like, if I didn't have one experience or another, how do I know I would be here today? I don't. I really don't. And like, I could be grateful for that. Like, maybe not in the moment. Usually that's like 2020 in hindsight, right? But for me, like, OA, I was the current person I'm working with had a, we don't have the same story, but we had a similar trajectory where we were in program for a few years, took some of the suggestions and not all of them. And my ego really prevented me from working this program the way it's meant to be worked. And, you know, sometimes I had the willingness at points, and then for whatever reason, I wasn't like doing it as much, and something happened, and like I wasn't throwing myself into program, and like then I would break my abstinence. At one point, I had 3 years, and then, but to me, it wasn't very clean. But like, I'm also learning like that life isn't very clean, and what I mean that perfect, right? Nothing's perfect. And now I had made the decision about a year ago, April. I had had over a year of abstinence, close to a year and a half, and of just no binging. And then I was started working with another sponsee. I had gone through the steps up through, I think we were on six and seven. I was working six and seven with her. And I had my first sponsee. And through helping her, like guiding her through her first step, I started getting some clarity around like my own eating behaviors that were now becoming clear that problematic, like the sugar was becoming really problematic for me. And it was didn't get to the point, but it was getting really close to the point that I was about like I could have binged, right? And I had a conversation, an honest conversation, and honesty has been so important in this program for me. And like when I'm realizing I'm not being honest with myself too. And I had this conversation with her, and she was like, "Well, it looks like you should do this, like, you know, sober eating handout." Her new sponsor had given her, right? And I was like, "Fuck, I don't want to do this." Excuse my language. And I did it. And after some praying, I decided that I wanted to cut out recreational sugar. And so while I still haven't binged in a very long time, I don't know, it must be over 2.5 years by now, but I had trouble with that, right? I started counting my days again, and so this past October, after turning 40 and the high holidays, I kind of hit a new bottom with it, and I haven't picked up what I define as desserts and things like that since that point in time, and I haven't binged. That doesn't mean my eating is perfect, you know. It's not, and there are still definitely behaviors. I'm currently going through a similar process with starches, trying to figure out like what is like the right size thing to do. And I'm not doing anything until I get more clarity and like speak to my sponsor more about it and a nutritionist, because I can't make those decisions for myself. I know I lost that right. I lost that ability because I'm powerless over this stuff, right? And left to my own devices, I'm gonna just take my will back. And that's what I've learned when it comes to the food. That's really easy for me to do. And so, you know, in terms of a spiritual program, I had no God really when I came into recovery. I believed in something, but I had no relationship with that. You know, I think the way I was raised, I went to temple, I did the Hebrew school thing. I went to Jewish camp. Like, you know, it's not like I didn't have religion in my life, but I didn't understand spirituality. I didn't have that connection to a higher power that I can call my own. And this is what 12-step recovery has given me. It has not only given me a life beyond my wildest dreams, really, like, even with the pain, like, you know, I am like more myself today. You know, I'm 40, I'm going to be 41 in October. And like, I feel like more aligned with who I am and my core, like who I'm supposed to be, like today more than ever. And I don't think that's just because I'm older and slightly wiser. I think that's because of the 12-step program I work, both of them. And step one was so important, right? Like, that's the only one they say we have to get perfectly right. And for me too, came to believe, I was told like all I had to do was be open to a concept of a higher power. I didn't have to like arrive believing, right?
5 minutes.
Thank you. And I was open to that, right? I was open to that. And because I wanted to die when I walked in. And like, I even wanted to die in sobriety when I left OA for a brief period of time after my dad died. And I started binging every day. And my disease never looked like that before. It was like once in a while. And I often, it felt like what I imagine it feels like to be a cutter. Like, I had to eat, like, to feel like it was a grief. I know it was like to feel like relieved, and then I would feel that remorse and horror. And since I came back, like a shortly after that, like it was January, I don't know, 2018, January. Yeah, I haven't left the rooms because regardless of what my day count is, regardless of what my absence looks like, because I know I have this disease, and I know it, and I know God doesn't want me to be in pain. My higher power wants, loves me. And that's why my higher power has guided me to these rooms and to all of you, and has given me opportunities to enhance my recovery, whether or not I like the specific opportunities, such as being laid off, which I was last year for about 10 months. And but that opportunity allowed me to restart my step work in a different way, doing the big book. So I'm in the middle of a four step right now. And I am, as many of you have seen me, not more recently because I started working, so it's hard for me to get to the 4 p.m. as routinely, but I came most days that I was unemployed. Not all days, but most of them. And I became a TS, I'm doing service here. And I just love this meeting, the big book, because there's so many times I could read that book and learn something new. And the other part of my recovery that's really been helpful is like I never had listened to Joe and Charlie. And my sponsor, as I'm going through the steps with her in the big book, I'm not saying it. I know it's, I don't think it's approved. I don't know if I'm allowed to, but anyways, it just, I'm not saying it's a supplement. It's not like in place of anything. It's just another way to look at the steps and an interpretation of the big book. And it really, this time, really helped me with the third step, even more so. Like that concept of they talk about thinking and action, right? When I'm turning over my will and my life over to a care of higher power, what does that mean? Because when I was a newcomer, I had a lot of problem conceptualizing that. I'm a big thinker. And for me, it was like, oh, if I just think of it like, yeah, I'm turning over my thinking and my actions because that's all I have, right? That's all I can do, turn it over to God and let go of the results, right? And so when I'm doing my third step every morning, I just set for today and on a rare occasion, but I did do it. I did do it this afternoon. I think of that now. I think of turning over all my thoughts and actions. And if you're struggling with the third step prayer, for me, I just said it. It's like I acted as if I believed and I understood what that meant. And then I looked for things that basically expressed something similar. And actually, one of my OA sponsors had me write out what I thought it meant. And I would say that. And like, then one day, it like kind of clicked. I was like, oh, I get it. And what can that look like today, right? Like, I need to start. I'll just say that, like, my hope is that I'm going to make it through all the steps. That I'm going to be able to start sponsoring people after the fifth step, and that I'll start growing in this program, like in ways that I never could imagine. I'll just say, like, it's just interesting. I think for a very long time, I told myself, how much more could I possibly grow? It was like I was limiting myself because I grew so much in AA, right? Like, how much more can I possibly change? Like, I remember, and like, I have to tell you, like, if you're in more than one program, for me, like, there has been changes. Like my spiritual experiences with my higher power doesn't look the same as it did. It wasn't as profound as in my first program, but that's because it's the first time I was connected to a higher power. It just changes and evolves like differently. There's layers of my recovery, right? Like how I look at certain resentments that might pop up look different today than it did when I first came into program. Because, and it's amazing, like I'm not resentful at the same things. I let those things go. That doesn't bother me. I don't walk around with a huge chip on my shoulder most days, which is pretty amazing. How much t more time do I have for?
Two seconds.
Oh, okay. So I'll just say, like, I'm grateful to be here and I'm grateful to know all of you and have you all in my life. And I'm sorry if my qualification was a little bit all over the place. Anyways, thank you. Can't wait to hear from you.